We're turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. We're continuing our study of the book of Acts. We're basically seeing the first 30 years of the church. We're seeing the message of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, spread from Jerusalem through all of Israel and then the rest of the world. We've already seen the spread into what we call Asia. Paul and Barnabas have gone on this first missionary journey through the region. At that time, it was called Galatia. It's modern-day Turkey. This morning, as we continue, there's an important event that has happened as we looked at it. And in Acts 15, we often see what is called the church council. What's going on? Well, they've come together, the believers have come together to deal with the issue of the gospel message. This was the key. What was the key? What must a person do to be saved? Is salvation by grace through faith, or must there be works involved? And we'll talk more about it as we get into it, but that was the issue. And last time we saw that, we saw the church gathered, we saw the discussion, and finally we saw the decision. And so this morning, as we see the last part of chapter 15, we're going to see them write a letter to take to those churches, the ones that were all disturbed and upset because people had come in and said, it's not just faith in Christ, you better be circumcised, you got to keep the law of Moses, you got to do all these things. Now they're going to take a letter back to them and give them some information. The chapter ends surprisingly. Because all this time, we've seen Barnabas and Paul, and they're buds, right? They're friends. They're close. Barnabas is the guy that stood for Paul when Paul came back and said, I really am a believer, and nobody believed him. And Barnabas said, I believe him. I know him. And they all been friends. And Barnabas went and got Paul and said, I want you to come help me in this ministry in Antioch. And they've been together, and then they've gone on this first missionary journey together. And they just are been together in ministry. And at the end of the passage, they break up. And we go, that's terrible. Well, we'll see about it when we get to the end of the passage. You know, one of the great truths found in the Bible is found in Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good, those that love him, those that are called according to his purpose. It is a great promise that God causes all things to work together for good. And they didn't say everything's good. There are a lot of events that happen in our life. We go, that's not good, but God's going to work it out for good. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says he works all things according to the counsel of his will. In our lives, we can know that the events, the circumstances, the trials, the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, all are allowed by God as he's working these events out, ultimately for our good. Well, this morning, we're going to see an event that really looks bad. And that's the dispute between Paul and Barnabas. And it looks bad, and they divide. And we go, these two great guys, I mean, these people are in the Bible. I mean, they're great just because they're in the Bible, right? I mean, that's how we think about it. And we go, good gracious, what happened? But God's going to take it and use it for good. And we want to be encouraged as we see the passage. Well, let's begin. Let's think about what's going on. Paul and Barnabas have just completed what we would call the first missionary journey. Let me just show you this. If you remember, they had been, Jerusalem was the key, and some people up here became believers, and so they sent Barnabas up there, and then he went over to Tarsus and got Paul and brought him back, and they had this great ministry. But then God set them apart, and they left Antioch and went to Cyprus, and they landed at Salamis, they went across the island to Paphos, they went there, then they left and they went to Pamphylia, that region called Pamphylia. This whole region really is called Galatia. See the big name Galatia there? And so they got there, that's the letter to the Galatians, and so when they got there, John Mark left them and went back, and they went, and they went to Perga, and then they went to another Antioch, and then they went to Iconium and Lystra, and every one of these places, they got run out of town and beaten in that Lystra. Paul was actually stoned, and they went down to Derbe, and then they turned around and they came right back, came here, and then got on a boat, and then they didn't go to Cyprus, they went back to Antioch. And that's where they ended. And they got to Antioch and they told everybody, what a great, great time we had. And they told a lot about the ministry and the people who trusted Christ, and everybody was happy. But then a problem developed. And we see that the issue is this. The message of salvation. What must one do to be saved? Because some people came and said, it's more than that. And when Paul and Barnabas were out on that first missionary journey, they were saying to people, and I'll quote from Acts 13, 38, 39, that you have the forgiveness of sins by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus died and rose again. Whoever believes in him has eternal life and has forgiveness of sins. Well, somebody comes with a different message. Look at Acts chapter 15. Look at verse 1. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. We saw this last week, so it's not new, but they came in and said, you have to come under the law of Moses to be saved. In fact, you have to be circumcised. And so it's not just faith, it's actually works. You've got to keep the law in order to be saved. Now, we see the same thing today. People say, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. If you don't join the church, you're not saved. If you don't turn away from your sins, you're not saved. If you don't make Jesus Lord of your life, you're not saved. And so people add things all the time. We know from the Bible, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe, faith. So here's an issue, and of course you know what happened. Verse 2, and when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders concerning the issue. So it became an issue, and Paul and Barnabas said, no, you don't keep the law of Moses to be saved. The Gentiles do not have to become Jews to be saved. Nobody has to come under the law. In fact, Jewish people never kept the law. The bottom line is, it's just faith in Christ. Well, they argued over it, so they decided they would go to Jerusalem and settle the issue. Now we see that there are two groups right now. Those who say salvation by faith alone, that's Paul, Barnabas, and the rest. There are some who said, no, it's salvation by works. You must keep the law. When they got to Jerusalem, there's going to be another group come. Look at verse 5. Look what it says. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed, these people who were believers, stood up saying, it's necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. Now we've got a third group of people. They say, well, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but you need to keep the law. So there's three groups. We talked about it last week. Those who say salvation is by faith, those who say salvation is by works, and those say that salvation is by faith, but you better keep the law and you better do the good works. Let me explain something to you. This first group is salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. It's not works, but faith alone. And that would be us. We say it's just faith alone and Christ alone. There's a second group that actually says salvation is by works. You have to do things. We call that front loading. We say that a person says you must be baptized, you must do this, you must join a church, you got to do certain things in order to be saved. We call that front-loading the gospel. There's the third group, which is salvation is by faith, but you must keep the law in order to stay saved or even show you're saved to prove you're saved. We call it back-loading. It still works for salvation. They say things like this. You can say you believe in Jesus, but if you don't do good works, you're not saved. And so either way, anytime you add works to it, there's confusion. We find all of that today. We find those who say a person is saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That's us. We find people who say that you must do good things or do things to be saved. That's other people. And then you find some others who say you're saved by faith, but you must do good works to stay saved to prove you're saved. It's out there all over the place. You meet those people every day. You talk to those people and they'll say things like, well, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. You know, you can say you believe in Jesus all you want to, but if you don't do this, you're not saved. They come together to deal with this issue. Why is it so important? Because Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Over and over we find in the Bible that salvation is by faith, both Old Testament and New Testament, so that is the issue. We saw Peter stood up and talked, and he says that we Jews are saved the same as Gentiles, by faith. Barnabas and Paul got up and talked, and then James got up. And by the way, if you look at verse 11, this is what Peter said. We believe that they are saved, Gentiles, that we are saved, Jews are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are. He says, we are saved the same as the Gentiles by faith. When it was all said and done, James stood up and he said this, verse 19. Therefore, it's my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. In other words, we don't put works on these people. We don't tell people they have to do good works to be saved. And we're telling them it's just faith alone and Christ alone, and that's salvation. And listen, when you go out these doors, don't put something on people that's not supposed to be on them. Don't tell them they got to do something to be saved. Tell them it's faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. That's salvation. And that's what they're saying. Therefore, it is my judgment, this is James talking, that we don't trouble the Gentiles. And then they decided something, because remember, Jews and Gentiles, if they're going to be in the same body, they're not the same. They had a whole different background. The Jews did certain things, Gentiles did certain things. In fact, there were things that Gentiles did that Jews said, we don't like that at all. So here's what they decided to do. Notice in verse 19, well, right before verse 19, it said, they were going to write to the Gentiles, ask the Gentiles to abstain from four different areas because it offended the Jews. And look at verse 20. Here's where it says it. But to write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, and from blood. And I'm going to explain that later because it's in the letter. We talked about it last week, but I'll help you understand it. And so that's what they did. They decided to write them and do that. Let me put together the passage for you this morning. Now, we're going to start with verse 22. where we ended last week, and we're going to see the letter that is written, the men that are chosen to take the letter. We're going to see them taking the letter in verses 30 through 35 and what the response is. And then we see what we think is a sad thing, but God uses it. The division, Paul and Barnabas, a disagreement over Mark, and Paul and Silas get together while Barnabas and Mark get together. We'll talk more about that. Let's see what happened. Look at verse 22. It seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Now, you remember that the church at Antioch had this trouble, and so Paul and Barnabas came down. If Paul and Barnabas came back by themselves and said, they said it's just faith alone and Christ alone, they'd say, how do we know that's right? You could have just gone down there and came back. So they send two other men with Paul and Barnabas, leading men in the church, Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They're going to come back and they're going to tell them. Now, let me just tell you some things. Look, the guy's name's Judas called Barsabbas. Most people didn't want to be called Judas anymore, right? So he's also called what? Barsabbas, which means son of the Sabbath. That's what his name means. And then there's Silas. Now, Silas, later, he's got another name. Sometimes he's called Silvanus, and he traveled with Paul into Philippi, to Thessalonica, and even to Corinth. So this man, we're not going to see the end of this guy. Look what happened. Let's see the letter. Verse 23, and they sent this letter by them, the apostles and the brethren who are elders, to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia who are from the Gentiles, greeting. Now let me show you. I think we have the map. Do we not have the map right there? We do. Okay, so Syria, Cilicia, Antioch, they're writing this letter to take back to all of these people right in this area. This is where the problem was, but the problem spreads out, of course. This is Paul's hometown. So they said, go up there with the letter, take it to the people in Syria, people in Antioch, people in Cilicia, Phoenicia, all of those areas, we're going to take the message. And so here's what it says. The apostles and the brethren who are elders to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia who are from the Gentiles, greetings. And then look what they say. Since we have heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instructions, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls. He said, we heard some people went up there and began to bother you by tell a message. We didn't send them up there. We didn't send those people up there to tell you, you have to keep the law of Moses. They were not sent out with our blessing. Notice it said that it unsettled your soul. Listen, the incorrect message can cause a lot of confusion. When you tell people it's something other than faith in Christ, people get confused and people get messed up. Whenever you use works, you can almost never have assurance. In fact, I think the slide shows this, that works, you can never have assurance. With faith, there's assurance in Jesus Christ. Let me show you what I mean. If I said you have to do good works to be saved, you know what the question is? How many good works? And for how long? And what if I am saved and I say, well, in order to stay saved and make sure you're saved, you have to do good works. Well, how many and for how long? And do I have to do them the rest of my life? Do I have to do them for like 6 months? I mean, how do you know if you're saved if it goes back to works? And then if you actually look inside your life, you say, I'm a scoundrel. So I don't know if I'm going to ever be good enough to go. You can never have assurance with works. But when it's by faith in Jesus Christ, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life. When it's by faith in Christ, you can have assurance. When it's by your works, you can never have assurance. And so it said, we heard that some people came up there and disturbed you. We didn't send them up there. And so look what they go on to say in verse 25. It seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is true that Barnabas and Paul had risked their lives for Jesus Christ. I mean, they went to those towns. They went in there. They told people about Christ. Some people believed. Some people didn't. They beat them. They threw them in jail. They ran them out of town. They risked their lives for Christ. And we say, oh, it's so hard to share our faith. Oh, yeah. Compared to that? Compared to go into a place that they may kill you because you share your faith? And we just say, somebody may give me a bad look. Somebody may not like me. We have to go into this community with the grace message because a lot of people don't know it. Look what happened. So he said, it seemed good to us, having one mind, to select some men to send with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent two men, Judas and Silas, who themselves will report the same thing by word of mouth. They said, we're going to send these two men who will tell you the same thing that's written in the letter. Okay? For it seemed good to us, it seemed good really to the Holy Spirit and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. Now, what they're saying is this. This is not a man's message. This is the Holy Spirit's message. This is from God. This was not a man's message. This is a message from God. This was good to the Holy Spirit and to us. We're not putting any other burden on you other than these four things. This has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is by faith. This is, how do you get along with the Gentiles and the Jews? How do they get along, as they're saying? Now, Gentiles, y'all live differently than Jews. You may say Jews are weird. Jews say Gentiles are weird. So you're both weird to each other, but there's some things that you do that really bother Jewish people. So we're going to ask you Gentiles who are becoming Christians, if you're going to be able to fellowship in one body, we're going to ask you, would you not do these four things? Now, this has nothing to do with salvation. This has just what to do with, say, we get along. Now, remember, this is not for salvation. This is how they were to relate to the Jewish believers, so not to offend them. So what are the four things? Verse 29, that you would abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourself free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. Four things. Look at them. Abstain from things sacrificed to idols. Listen, Jewish people, if you ever offer a sacrifice, it is to the true God. There's only one God. You don't do it. For the Gentiles, they came out of a culture that there were gods for everything. You could go down to the marketplace and it was food, it was meat that had been offered to idols, and you could buy it cheaply. Some Gentiles, some especially believing Gentiles, said, that meat's nothing. I'm going to get a good price on meat. And they would get it. Look, they said, listen, don't do that. Don't eat. Just stay away from idols, because that really bothers Jews. Okay. Second, don't eat or drink blood, because going all the way back in the Jewish book, going back to Genesis written by Moses, the life is in the blood, and God said, don't drink blood. So some Gentiles drank blood. So he said, don't do it. Third, the thing strangled. What did that mean? That was that they would kill the animals and they would eat the animals without draining the blood out. And since the life is in the blood, Jewish people would go, ooh, don't do that. Gentiles say, it don't matter. He said, please, don't do that. It would bother Jewish people. Last but not least, fornication. Don't have illicit sexual relations. You say, well, everybody knows that's wrong. Well, for the Gentiles, many of them coming out of some of the idol worship and some of the Diana of the Ephesians and the Parthenon. You know what the word Parthenon means? The Parthenon meant virgin. It was the Greek word for virgin. Parthenos is virgin. There were a bunch of women there called virgins who actually had sex as part of the religion and worship of Diana of the Ephesians, Artemis. And so they came out of that, and so they didn't look at fornication in the same way that Jews did. And so they said, you guys need to stop that, because you're going to really offend Jewish people. So they ask them, would you not do these four things? And if you do them, if you keep yourself from such things, you'll do really well. And so that was the plan. Understand, circumcision is not mentioned in there, is it? They didn't say, now go ahead and get circumcised so you won't offend people. No, because they didn't want them to say, you got to do these good works. No, they just said, listen, don't offend Jews by doing these things. Well, look what happened. So they were sent away. They came down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. Can you see these guys going, okay, can we get everybody together? Listen, we got some information from the church at Jerusalem about the issue we've been talking about. And this is Paul, Barnabas, this is Silas, this is Judah. We're going to give you his message. And they're going to read the letter. And they're going to see what happens. Well, notice what happened. And when they had read it, and by the way, the Greek word there means to read aloud. When they read it aloud, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Grace always brings joy. When you're under law, when you're under some work system, when you're under something that you got to do in order, first of all, the natural bent of a human being is anytime you're told you can't do something, what do you want to do? You automatically want to do it. That's your flesh. Law system puts you under that. Grace system does not put you under that. Whenever you grasp grace, there's joy. It's so wonderful. In fact, grace brings joy. That's what it is. The best way to bring frustration is bondage and law. And so look what happened. When they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. They went, yes, we knew it wasn't had to be law. We knew it was faith. Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren, notice, with a lengthy message. Now, when the Bible says it's a lengthy message, it had to be a lengthy message. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That thing went on and on. There were probably people going, when are these guys going to go back to where they came from? You know, right? It was a long message. But they were making sure they understood. The making sure they understood what the thing was all about. Then it goes on to say, and when they spent time there, they were sent away from the brethren in peace to those who had sent them out. But it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Now, when they got ready to leave, Judas and Silas were supposed to go back, and they said, "Thank y'all for coming. We understand. Appreciate you making the trip. Thanks for the letter. We got Paul and Barnabas. We're happy. Thank you so much." But Silas decides to stay. We're going to see that makes a difference in a little bit. Look what they were doing. But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord. Now, let me tell you what they were doing. The word teaching, of course, means to communicate truth. The word preaching literally means evangelism. It means sharing the faith. And see, that's what we're supposed to do, make disciples. What is discipleship? Evangelism training. Sharing our faith and then training and equipping people. That's exactly what Paul and Barnabas were doing. They were there teaching, helping train people. They were preaching, proclaiming the good news message, helping people come to know Christ. And it says, with many others, also the word of the Lord. Notice that the emphasis is always on the word of the Lord. It should excite you to know that we're a church that in everything that we do, it's based on the word of the Lord, the Bible. That's the key in the scripture. The key in the scripture, the authority of everything that happens is from the scripture, and they stand there teaching the scripture. And everywhere they're going to go, they're going to give the message of the Bible. And too often today we find that churches, they don't teach the Bible anymore. They get up and they have sermons and a guy talks for a while. He maybe reads one verse or something and people sit there, and that's why people don't understand the scripture, because they're not taught the scripture. What does it say they were doing? Teaching and preaching with many others the word of the Lord. That's what they were doing. They were teaching the scripture. Now we get to the sad part. Verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and let's see how they're doing." He says, let's go back to the churches that we went to. Now, let me tell you, that took some guts, right? What happened to him when he was there the last time? One group killed him, basically. They stoned him, pulled him out of the city, and left him for dead. Other groups ran him out of town. Just over and over and over. What had they done? They had gone through and tried to strengthen the believers. That's in Acts 14. Now, Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back. Let's go back and see how they're doing. Sometimes we do this. We might actually talk to someone about Christ, lead them to Christ, and we go, "Wow, that's fantastic. You're a Christian." And then we walk away. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. So we're not supposed to say, "Now that you know Christ, congratulations." We're supposed to say, "Now that you know Christ, let's help you grow." That's what Paul wants to do. He says, let's go back through these cities. Let's see how they're doing. Let's help these people grow. Barnabas, verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them. Now, anybody know who this John Mark guy is? You remember way back in the very early part of the book of Acts, when Peter was thrown into prison and this prayer meeting was held in this home? It was John Mark's mother's house. And so John Mark, what we find out, is actually a cousin of Barnabas. That's in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10 tells us that. So this is Barnabas. This is his cousin. And on the first trip, they said, let's go. And they left, and they went to the island. If you remember, they went to the island, and then they went up to Pamphylia. And when they got there, all the scripture says, when they got to Pamphylia, John Mark went back home. That's all it says. It doesn't say he got mad, he got sad, he got scared. It doesn't say anything. It just says he left. We don't have any explanation. So now they're getting ready to go to the second trip, and Barnabas says, let's take John called Mark with us. But look at verse, and he wanted to take him. But look what it says. But Paul kept insisting they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. But Paul says, I don't think so. And it, the way he's, Paul kept insisting not to, go ahead, go back. Yeah, stay on that other one. Paul kept insisting not to take John Mark with him. You can almost see Barnabas going, you know, I'm Barnabas, son of consolation. I'm the great encourager. That's what his name means. Let's make sure. I know John Mark kind of messed up at the start, but let's get old John Mark going. Let's take him. Paul, who's Mr. Straight Lace, says, no, I don't think so. Thanks for asking, but no, we're not going to take him, because, you know, I am the leader of this thing, and we're not going to take him because I'm a type A personality and I do what I want to do, and we're not going to take him because he left us on the trip. You all not see Paul is that way? Paul's Mr. Structure. Barnabas is Mr. Laid Back. Barnabas says, we got to love everybody and take care of everybody, and no matter what anybody does, just love them. And Paul says, no, there's an order and a system to everything that we do. And so it said Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So, next slide. Paul says, no, he left us. Barnabas says, yeah, he can help. I promise you he can help. Because what is Barnabas' background? He's a encourager. Oh, I know he'll do better this time. John Mark, don't you want to go? I want to go. I'd like to go. Wouldn't you do good this time? Oh, I'd do real good this time. I won't run off or anything. Paul says, I don't think so. Not going to take him. Not going to take him. So you got two great men of God with two different kind of personalities and two different ways of looking at things. And look what happened. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the Lord by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. There was a split. And sometimes we say two Christians and they get in a kind of an argument, a fight, and one says, okay, that's it. I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. Well, I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. And we say, oh, that's so bad. And it says, Barnabas took John Mark and he went to Cyprus and Paul chose Silas and they're going to go a different direction. And we say, what a sad thing. Now, let me tell you, what does this tell us? That it doesn't matter how mature you are. It doesn't matter if you're an apostle. Sometimes there are going to be disagreements. Sometimes there's going to be those kind of things. Sometimes you may not get along with each other. Sometimes those things happen. And here's the great man Barnabas and the great man Paul, and they divide. And we say, that was bad, but God's going to take it for good. Let me show you why. Because think about this. Now, there's two groups going out from the church, not just one. And Paul's going to go and he's going to take Silas with him. He's going to get Luke and Timothy on this trip and he's going to gain more as he goes. But Barnabas takes John Mark, goes to a safer place, the island of Cyprus, and he becomes faithful and trustworthy. Because later on, Paul writes and says, bring John Mark, who is faithful in the ministry. John Mark probably didn't need to travel with Paul. But he needed to travel with Barnabas. And not everybody fits everybody. You remember when Joseph's brother sold him into slavery? And he ends up being the king, basically the leader of Egypt. And his brothers, after his dad died, his brothers came in and they're all upset. And they say, yeah, I think you're going to get us back now for what we did. And he said, no, you meant it for evil. God meant it for God takes every situation, no matter what it is, and he can use it for good. A year and a half ago, there wasn't this church. Now there is. God took something bad, made something good. Look what happened. They were traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Let me show you where they went. We've seen this already. They're going to leave Antioch right there, and they're going to go in Phoenicia, Cilicia, Tarsus. This is where they're going to start, and they're going to do this, and they're going to get back over here and here, and they're going to try to go to these places, and God won't let them go. And they end up all the way over here for a reason. We'll see that as we get into chapter 16. We go on the second missionary journey. Okay? And we'll see that as we do it. There's so much in these passages. Well, we've seen letter written by the church. Paul, Barnabas, Silas, and Judas take it back. It's basically four things they ask the Gentiles not to do, so they won't offend the Jews, but it has to do nothing with salvation. And when they read the letter, everybody rejoiced. They got a division over Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, and now there's two groups. And Paul took Silas, he's going to go that direction, and John Mark and Barnabas left and went back down to Cyprus. And we're going to see what happens later on. By the way, Barnabas is not mentioned anymore. Not in the book of Acts. And notice verse 40. Just read it carefully. But Paul chose Silas and left, notice, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. It doesn't say, I don't mean it's bad. It doesn't say that John Mark and Barnabas were committed by the brethren to go out. Some have even said that maybe Barnabas is mad and they left and the church said, well, if he's mad, let him go. And Paul, you can go with us. But we don't know. It turns out for good no matter what. Let me give you some applications. Let's be very clear on the gospel. The gospel is very simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not our works, our goodness, or anything. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Be very clear. Many people today aren't clear. And all you have to do is pick up a book. All you have to do is listen on the radio, to get TV. The message usually isn't very clear. We have to be clear. We know the answer. So when we go out this door, be clear. Second, be careful not to offend fellow believers. I've just put it that way, in the same way that the Gentiles were said, or they said, please try not to offend the Jews. We just say, try to live in such a way that we're bringing people together, not pulling people apart. Live in such a way that we're building each other up. You know this as fellow believers. The world's bad enough. The world's going to try to tear you down. We don't need each other tearing each other down. So what we need to do is build each other up. The third thing, and it's true, is keep the focus on the Word of God. That's the bottom line. Our purpose is to make disciples. That's evangelism and training. And keep the focus on the message from the Word of God. Keep the focus on teaching the Word of God. Help people grow. That means whether it's a 4:12 class, a 2:2, whether it's a CBI, a SBI class on Wednesday night, or a Bible study somewhere, Sunday morning, Sunday school, the emphasis must be the Word of God. It has to be. We have to do that. And last but not least, we know this. God uses all circumstances to work for good. So trust Him. Trust Him even in the bad, because God's working all things together for good. It may not be good. There are things that happen in our lives we say, that's not good at all. No, that's not good. Somehow, in our lives, God will take it and work it for good. In fact, we may not ever see that, but God will, because that's what He says. May we trust God in the trials, problems of life. May we keep the focus on the Word of God. May we be clear on the gospel as we live in such a way that are bringing people together.